Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
All right, Monday morning. Welcome to the show. We are back. I am back from San Antonio, and Harrington is probably staring at his phone, probably looking around, probably very, very stressed because Harrington,
Alex's water broke first thing this morning.
The water has broken. The floodgates are open. Another Harrington is joining the world very, very shortly. Oh, my God. Brace yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Not one, but two herringbones floating around New York City. Oh, my word. Congrats, man. Must be an exciting time for you.
Dude, I will never forget her. She woke me up at like 6:45 this morning, which is an ungodly hour for us. That's like our 4 a.m. You know what I mean? And she was like, yeah, you know, the water broke. I don't, you know, she was like, I think so. I'm like, babe, I can see you leaking. Yes, for sure. Your water broke. So we called the midwives. We're scheduled to head to the hospital pretty much as soon as this episode is wrapped up. So
very okay, excited. Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, all the best to you and best of luck. Everything goes smooth and can't wait to see pictures. Anthony Smith will hopefully be joining us soon. And I just heard back Nate Landwehr will be joining. Mike in the background. Brian has left us. Brian has just, you know, he's abandoned us. Mm-hmm. He has abandoned us right now. So we've got a new guy in the background. Mike, let me know. Do you have the email address for Nate Landwehr? Because if not, I will send it to the BYM pod email right now.
Yes, which I have done. All
right. Copy. All right. So BYM. Sorry, guys, this is awful podcasting, but there it is. It's done. Nate the Train Landwehr. What a guy that is. And we should have Colby Covington joining us as well. So anyway, let's get right into that at the weekend. San Antonio, great night of fights. Beautiful arena, by the way. Not that any of you care that weren't there, but honestly, normally when we get changed in like the locker rooms and stuff, we're in like a little dingy thing. Man, we felt like real celebrities. Oh, you know, the locker rooms were beautiful. Oh, God, we had mirrors and lights and we were like real stars. Anyway, the stars of the show were without question. I say the stars. There was only one star Saturday night, and that was what's his name? Sorry, I was just
Corey
thinking.
I
can hear myself coming back through you guys a little bit, so I was just throwing me off. Corey Sandhagen versus Marlon Chito Vera. Now, terrible night at the office for Marlon Vera. Incredible night at the office for Corey Sandhagen. Corey was fantastic. He was brilliant, you know, and Chito, traditionally a slow starter to his detriment, but normally he can do enough damage or get the knockout to make up for that. Well, Saturday night, that backfired. That backfired big time. And I don't think it was a game plan thing. I think it was more Corey Sandhagen being so good, so great. We'll get into me being a biased commentator shortly. We'll talk about that in a minute. That's the main talking point, really, because it kind of reflects to why I think Chito didn't do well. Listen, Corey was brilliant. He always is. He is so technical to watch. You cannot take away from that, right? The way he switches stances, the strike, the shot selection, the flying knees, the kicks, the punches, the takedowns, the jiu-jitsu, the whole shebang. Corey Sandhagen does it at an extremely high level. And he went out there Saturday night and put it on Chito Vera from the opening bell. The takedowns were well executed, good control, good ground and pound, landing good shots, the uppercuts he was throwing, the body shots. An A-star, an A-plus, top flight, top draw, whatever you want to call it, performance in every single way.
Yeah, and it's like, a lot of people were made mention of this heading into the fight, and I definitely do think it bore out. The larger cage really helped Corey Sandhagen, because if you're a guy who moves as much as he does, a lot less on his bike in this fight than we've seen him in previous fights. Like, there was a lot of side-to-side movement, but not really running laps around the cage, just getting out of the way enough of Cheeto's shots and then putting himself in a position to find Cheeto off balance. To me, the tail of the fight was that fourth round, because I do think Cheeto turned the tide a little bit in the third. I know two of the three judges gave him that third round, and I think that's when a lot of people thought Cheeto was going to start to steamroll. Sandhagen was not having that. He came out fired up in that fourth round and just put it on Cheeto and made it so going into that fifth round he needed to find a finish, and I just don't think the finish was there to be found against somebody as game as Sandhagen.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the third round is essentially only, and I say this as a friend of Marlon Vera, you know, but he knows how it feels, and he knows deep down in himself that he never really showed up. You know, I saw him afterwards with Perillo and stuff. We shared a beer, but we'll get to that after. Round three is essentially when he started fighting. You know, it was only about then. Round five, really went for it. The last 20 seconds, he really went for it. But too little, too late. It really was. And, you know, I did an instant reaction on my YouTube channel about it. And the thumbnail is Vera beat himself. Or did Cheeto Vera beat himself? And people going, what do you mean he beat himself? Listen, of course Corey Sandhagen beat him. Corey Sandhagen was fantastic. But what I meant by that, and this is essentially this talking point. The first storyline or talking point is that Corey Sandhagen was phenomenal. Okay? He beat Cheeto in every way and form. Okay? Simple as that. That's clearly evident. Right? That is clearly evident. The other talking point is why Cheeto never showed up. Right, and there's a variety of theories for that. Number one, maybe just because he's a slow starter. Number two, because he's had success at doing that in the past and always found the knockout. Or number three is that the moment, the nerves, the anxiety, the pressure, the occasion, the main event, the consequences of what's next, being in front of a huge crowd and knowing that there's a title fight on the end of this, and then combine it with the fact that Corey Sandhagen is a really, really complicated puzzle to solve. You put all that together and Cheeto showed up and the moment got to him. So yeah, of course, Corey Sandhagen beat him, but Marlon essentially beat himself as well because he allowed Corey to just operate and do whatever he wanted. And I'm not taking away from Sandhagen, far from it. He was technically perfect. He was brilliant. He executed what he wanted to execute. He was defensively brilliant as well. And I think the overloading of switching stances and the variety of attacks and all the rest of it kind of made Marlon off guard. So yeah, look, listen, Sandhagen phenomenal. Vera wasn't. He blew it. You know, that was his big opportunity. It was a huge crowd. And there was definitely consequences. There was definitely title fight implications with that matchup, you know, and sadly for Cheeto Vera, he goes to the back of the line. Corey Sandhagen, now, I thought it was phenomenal. Call out Merab Dvalishvili. The guy's right there. He said he doesn't want to fight Aljamain Sterling. If Corey can beat Merab, well then, come on, it's over. It's a title shot next. Simple as that.
Yeah. No doubt about that. For me, there is a part where if Aljamain Sterling does get this win and stays true to his word and goes up to featherweight, I would not mind seeing Merab Dvalishvili versus
some people say Dvalishvili.
All right.
You know, but no, Dvalishvili is what we're going with officially on this podcast.
I like it. I would not mind seeing those two fight for the vacant belt if Aljamain Sterling is to move up to featherweight. It makes sense. You have now the number one guy in Merab. I would imagine number three taking Cheeto's spot in Corey. And we just saw Piotr Jan lose. Sean O'Malley, yep. I mean, is there, but, you know, he's been inactive since beating Piotr Jan. So Merab has a more recent win over him.
Yeah, well, that's all if, buts, and maybes. And, of course, Aljamain's got to get through Cejudo first. That ain't going to be easy. And does he go up? I don't know. If they made the fight with Merab and Corey Sandhagen beats him, he doesn't need to go up, you know. But still, anyway, so biased commentary. I thought I had a great night of commentary. Really, really enjoyed myself. I was talking a lot about Chito Vera because that was the storyline of the fight. Of course, you got to commend and give credit to Corey Sandhagen, which I think everybody was. How can you not credit what he was doing? Executed perfect takedowns. The striking was phenomenal. The footwork always on point. You know, the way he was switching stances so fluidly. It was a beauty to watch. And Saturday night with Corey Sandhagen, and those first two rounds against Piotr Jan, that's what makes mixed martial arts such a beautiful sport. And when you compare it to something like boxing, which is a beautiful sport as well. But, you know, he perfectly highlighted the variations or the mixture of martial arts and the way he switches stances and he throws the kicks and he blends in the shots and the knees and the flying knees and elbows, then to a takedown, to a spinning back kick, whatever. It was a beautiful display of mixed martial arts. But one of the real storylines was that a killer in the division, Marlon Vera, essentially wasn't fighting. You know? He wasn't.
That was the story of the fight.
The story of the fight was that he wasn't fighting. So I was talking about that and trying to figure out why and saying, what is he doing? You know? And maybe it was the moment. Maybe you put it down to a bad night at the office. That's what you always say. You know, sometimes you have a bad night at the office. And I spoke to him afterwards, you know, and he's down and he knows, you know, and I gave him some advice and some pep talks. I said, listen, it happens. The mental side of things, the mind, it controls everything. And people are probably sick of me saying that, but it's true. It is absolutely true. And even at the highest level of sports, sometimes it can still happen to you. Like when I fought George St. Pierre, the biggest fight of my life, you know, Madison Square Garden, main event, the biggest pay-per-view event I was a part of. I didn't show, well, I mean, I tore my ribs and I had other things going on, but also mentally, I was kind of freezing. I felt I was stuck in the mud, as McGregor might say. You know, you go in slow motion. It just happens sometimes because of the moment, because of the nerves, the pressure, whatever you want to call it. And that separates boys from men, chumps from contenders, and winners from losers.
So I have a quick question about this because I feel like Chito was a bit of a victim of his own success. That first takedown that Sandhagen landed, Chito was able to land like a couple big elbows that opened up Corey Sandhagen pretty badly, right? Put some real damage on him with elbows. And it seemed to me from that point on, at least for the first couple rounds, anytime Sandhagen got him down, Chito seemed content staying there, right? Content and just staying in his guard and trying to do damage off his back. And it's one of those things where, you know, if you open up a guy early and that's working for you, you know, like, could you, like, did he get into a situation where he was just too comfortable being in a bad way, losing points with the judges, just trying to score Hail Mary damage?
Well, I don't know. Only Chito can answer that question because I never asked him that, but he shouldn't. Never. It's all well and good getting taken down and landing elbows off your back, but that's because you can't get back to your feet and you got to do something. You know what I mean? Now, granted, some people, they have their guard passed and things like that. If you're good enough to maintain them in your guard and you can hold them there, but you can't get back up, so, well, you might as well do something. And not some people punch and stuff, but trust me, you can butcher someone like I did against George. But in no way, shape or form should a fighter be happy on their back landing elbows compared to getting back to the feet. Simple as that. You've always... primary objection, unless you're a Damian Maia or somebody like that with the jiu-jitsu and your guard is ridiculously dangerous. And you can, the three S's, sweep, submit, or stand up, right? And you can go for submissions. Generally, my rule was always two or three. You know, if you want to go for a couple of subs, fine. There's no point knowing all this jiu-jitsu if you get taken down and not trying to use it, okay? But if you go for a couple of attempts and it doesn't work, well, then it's time. Well, maybe you can try a sweep. If you try a couple of sweeps and those aren't working because they've got a solid base and because they also know jiu-jitsu and they're countering it as you do it, well, then you go to the third option, which is stand the fuck up. And that's what you got to do. You got to get up because it's a fight. And yeah, chipping away with elbows, great. Who knows? Maybe you do a little bit more damage on the scoring criteria, but you're also on your back and probably they're doing damage to you. Corey Sandhagen, congratulations. That was a phenomenal performance. Chito Vera, he'll be back. He's already calling out Piotr Jan on Instagram or social media, which I respect. I think he just wants to get right back in there, take this nasty taste out of his mouth and eradicate that loss and move on with his career, which is the best thing to do. It's the best thing to do, you know? So fair play. I respect him for that. It'll be a learning curve. But biggest, highest profile, highest consequent moment of his career. And, you know, what do you say? He shit the bed. He shit the bed. But Corey was great. See, again, that sounds like I'm saying blaming it on Marlon. But he didn't show up. Anyway, enough of that.
I texted you right after, just real quick on that bias commentary thing, because you were calling it. Every time Sanhagen landed an elbow, you were like, man, he is tagging Cheeto. Like, you were, I could hear you as Cheeto's friend being like, man, Sanhagen is just messing him up. And I texted you right after, let's hear them try and call you biased after that one. And immediately the comments flooded in. It's like, this is crazy.
Listen, everyone knows I'm friendly with Cheeto and I'm friendly with his coach, Perillo. Do you know what I mean? Believe it or not, the world of mixed martial arts is pretty small. And you get friendly with most people. Not friendly with Corey Sandhagen because he's not the most friendly person. He's like, not with me anyway. He doesn't want to be like my friend. You know what I mean? So there we go. All right, Holly Holm, I thought, looked absolutely brilliant. We've got a lot of MMA news to get to. And I think we're going to have Nate the Train Landwehr joining us shortly, you know. So 3:30 CST, that's good. All right, did you send the email, please?
We should have had Colby,
but Colby's going to Colby. Hopefully we get him Thursday because he should have been on already. Anyway, Holly Holm, bloody hell, she was brilliant. She was absolutely phenomenal. What a great performance. 41 years old. And I know you should never mention a woman's age, but it's kind of a storyline. 41, former champion, wants to be the champ again, went out there against Yana Santos. I mean, the only thing that was missing was a finish. She was by far the better fighter. Santos came out super aggressive. Yeah, you want to be aggressive, but you also want to be calculated. You can't just run at your opponent. They call it a punching charge in karate. As you step forward with one foot, the opposite hand punches, and you go forward like that. She was just trying to do that into a clinch and try and take it down. Holly's far too versed, skilled, experienced for any of that stuff to work. And I thought she was great.
And she wasn't when she started her career. Like, if you go back and watch, her title reign ended because the moment Miesha Tate was able to get her on the ground, she was in trouble, right? So look at how much the tool set she's gained over the last 7 years. It's absolutely incredible to go from somebody who had the boxing and the kickboxing background to go out there and just land takedowns seemingly at will, be in a real position to get a submission victory yourself against another top-ranked opponent in the division. Holly Holm is, you know, I think you can talk about a woman's age when that woman has a better six-pack than most guys I know.
All right. Well, I'm going to peel back the curtain and I shouldn't do this, but it's true. You can't talk about a woman's age. Remember when you did on Karen Bryant?
Oh, man. I knew you were going to bring that. I feel bad about that. Literally, like once a month, I think about that and I'm foot and mouth.
You didn't feel bad. I'm the one that got the abuse of Karen. Okay. I'm the one that had Karen texting me. Like, she was like, what the hell? I'm like, I know, Karen. Harrington's a bloody idiot. Anyway, moving on. Right, so we won't go through every single fight. I do want to talk about the star of the night. That, I don't know if everyone was watching the early prelims, but the first two prelims, because obviously they're both from San Antonio or Texas, Victor Altamirano versus Vinicius Salvador. Tremendous fight. The crowd was losing their mind. First fight of the night, pretty much full house. The crowd, the noise was amazing. Great fight as well. Then we had Daniel Lacerda versus CJ Vergara. He started his career and lives in San Antonio. He was getting the crap kicked out of him. At one point, CJ Vergara was literally running away. I can't remember the last time I saw that. And I'm not talking crap. The only time that's coming to mind is when McGregor did it to Nate Diaz. he took a little joggy-jog. But that fight was sensational as well. And the place was losing their mind.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is easily. I mean, we're still only in March, but that's got to be the fight of the year up to this point. I mean, CJ Vergara was the ref had every single right to step in. And if not, probably for that hometown San Antonio crowd cheering him on and putting that in the referee's mind to give him every possible opportunity to survive. I feel like that fight is stopped. And then to come out in that second round and be absolutely dominant and route to victory is incredible. You got to feel for Lacerda there, who is now, 0-4 in his UFC career? But he has yet to have a boring fight. That guy is just pure excitement from the opening bell.
He really is. He really is. So we're not going to go through everything. We're going to talk about Nate Landwehr's fight with Austin Lingo when he jumps on in just a second. And if you are very much a casual of mixed martial arts and you're like, Nate Landwehr, why are you talking to Nate Landwehr? Nate the Train Landwehr, he's got his own day in Clarksville, Tennessee. He's an exciting, interesting, compelling, and very entertaining guy to talk to. So hold on to your hearts when that comes. Macy Barber looked really good. Close fight versus Andrea Lee. Shout out Macy. Abaduria. I've got the job done against Inge Kawani. Manel Kopp, Alex Perez, cancelled.
The seizure.
Cancelled, Harrington.
The seizure. Perez talked about it on his Instagram, and a couple other fighters jumped on to have his back because people were really talking crap, including his opponent, Manel Cape, was like, you know, he had some Kopp. Very choice words. Kopp, sorry about that.
No, don't be sorry. No, it gets me. It says Cape, but apparently yeah. It's Kopp.
All right. Know? I don't get the pronunciation guy, but he was talking crap about the former title challenger. Apparently Perez, while he was going through his pre-fight warm-ups, had a full-on seizure in the back, needed the medics to come in, and I'm assuming, you probably know better than me, rushed to the hospital.
Yeah, no, because we found out literally on air, you know what I mean? Like it's happening a lot recently, and I wonder why. I wonder if it's because of the weight cuts, the rehydration, things like that. That's another thing that Chiro's thinking about as well. And Perillo was like, well, we've got to look at the way we're cutting weight because he felt so flat. But anyway, Perez, hope you're well. Manel Kopp, that was disappointing for Manel and for Alex Perez. Imagine going through a full fight camp and then you have a bloody seizure backstage, which in itself is scary.
Terrifying.
Have you ever had a seizure, Harrington?
I don't. Yeah, I have, actually. I have.
Do you mind talking about it?
But it's not safe for YouTube.
Okay. All right. So I kind of want to know on a personal side.
I'll text you.
What kind of seizure is not safe to talk about? My God. Right. Forget it. Don't want to know. All right. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. All right, let's talk about BetterHelp real quick. They've supported this show for a while, and that's because they're supporting over 1 million people with their mental health. BetterHelp offers professional counseling, which is done securely online. So if you feel like there's something bothering you, getting in the way, affecting your sadness, your happiness, making you sad, giving you anxiety, depression, alcohol issues, dependence issues, drug issues, anger issues, whatever it is, and we've all got something. There's always something holding you back. There's something between your ears that you're thinking about, you can't let go of. It's affecting you. It's affecting your productivity. It's affecting your relationship with your wife or your loved one. It's affecting you at work, affecting your relationships. You know, you've got to get a hold of this. You've got to speak to somebody if you've been through some traumatic times. Speaking to a licensed professional, that is going to help. So whatever you're dealing with, Better Range has a wide range of counselors available for you. Plus, it's more affordable than traditional counseling, and financial aid is available, so it's easy to get started. Once you sign up, they'll give you your own licensed therapist in under 48 hours who you can communicate with anytime. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. And BetterHelp will make sure that you get a good matchup in terms of your counselor. If you don't like the person, you're not vibing with them, easy. Just switch it out. You don't have to jump in your car. You don't have to drive across town, pay for parking, none of that stuff. You do it at your convenience. You do it over the phone. So right now, take charge of your mental health. Go to betterhelp.com/believe. Join over 1 million people who have done this. Betterhelp.com/believe. That is BETTER. Help. HELP. Betterhelp.com/believe. You're going to get 10% off your first month. One more time. Betterhelp.com/believe for 10% off your first month. All right. Based upon all the notes that you have compiled, put together, Harrington, and you did a good job. And obviously, I have my say in them and I send a few things over. But what is your number? In fact, should we do a non-MMA? We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about what's going on in Mississippi. Just for those people that don't know, that don't live in America, that don't watch the news, or, man, in Mississippi, there's a, what's it called, the town, something, Running Fork or something like that. I think the town is called...
I'm not sure. I'll look it up right now.
But it is, there's been a huge tornado, and the state of it, it's depressing, but it's just like so shocking. It's so shocking. The power of nature, man. There was a town, an entire town, and it is just wiped off the earth. wiped off the earth. All the structures and buildings are completely destroyed. Apparently, there was like huge, big rig trucks spinning through the air and stuff like that. Everything is, I mean, 25 and rising people have died, lost their lives, utter homes just destroyed. Mm-hmm. So on the news, people that did survive, that managed to find some kind of shelter or whatever, now they're just on the streets, standing there, and their home is just literally a pile of rubble, thinking, what do we do now? Sadly, already a very, very poor town, under the poverty line, a lot of people live. And, man, just awful. Let's have a look. Do we have... You said there's a video?
Yeah. I put Mike on it, but I will try and pull it up right now. I know I heard an interview with one guy. He said it was pretty horrifying. The an 18-wheeler ended up taking out his parents' home, and just that was that. That is
an 18-wheeled truck.
An 18-wheeler truck got caught up in the tornado and slammed into their home, killing both of his parents. Absolutely horrifying stuff.
That's just wild. Now, I'm going to talk about something I saw in the news because you just tried to do it a second ago and it didn't work out. So you just focus on bringing up that video, buddy. Yeah. On the news this morning, I saw a feature on it and there was a woman and she works at a diner, right? And they saw the destruction and everything and it hadn't happened where they were. So they had a big, huge fridge, right? Which is like made out of metal and very heavy. So 9 people jumped in the fridge. I'm assuming they turned the fridge off before they got in. That's not the best place to hang out.
I hope so.
Or they brought a jacket at the very least. Because my wife, Rebecca, would rather go out into the tornado than stand and chill in a fridge with no jacket, just throwing it out there. Anyway, so they went in there, and then the husband was trying to shut the door, but then the wind got the door and all the rest of it, and he was trying to fight the door, and somehow he got the door shut, and when he shut it, he goes, oh, my God. Because the fridge is inside the building, saying, I could see the sky, meaning the roof has already been ripped off. And then it showed it on the footage that the entire restaurant was gone, but the huge metal fridge was still there. It must have been bolted to the ground or something like that. I don't know, but yeah, man. Yeah. Right. Do we have video of people losing their homes?
Yeah. Look at this here.
Not a joke.
No. This is horrifying. You can see inside the tornado, there's like lightning that's cracking. Look at all that debris, man.
Yeah. I mean,
God, that's terrifying.
There's pictures though of the general. I mean, yeah.
Look at that going through a guy's head. Look at that.
Look at all the fences just like blown away in advance of the thing even getting it. And those people in the house filming it, it's coming towards their house.
Man.
Imagine that feeling. I mean, these poor people. I mean, it is messed up. I mean, there's some extreme weather in America. I mean, there's extreme weather all over the world, but coming from the UK, where we bitch about the weather all the time because it is miserable and it is cold and it does flood here and there, but not bad. There's nothing extreme. I think we got a hurricane once in like the 1980s, 1988, something like that. I seem to remember, but we get nothing like that. But in the States, man, wow, you guys get crazy hurricanes, floodings, you know, tornadoes,
dude, when you're
earthquakes
a country,
galore.
When you're a country this size, you get a little bit of everything.
Oh yeah. Which is, it's absolutely fascinating. Don't get me wrong. It's fascinating and it's a beautiful country and it's incredible. But like, wow, it's coming from the UK, it just feels so shocking. You know what I mean? To see that stuff and those poor people that lost their homes, man. You ever been involved in a home crisis like that, Harrington?
No,
I mean,
nothing.
You haven't had a home for very long, to be
all
fair.
All right. No, I mean, you know, some flooding of the basement when I was a kid during like a pretty bad rainstorm, but nothing nearly as crazy as that. No tsunamis, nothing.
Northern California right now, they're all flooded. There's still crazy weather up there. Yeah, really, really bad. Anyway, it's not the weather show.
And you guys got forest fires.
We got forest fires galore. Yeah, I've been evacuated a couple of times.
Yeah.
When I was training for GSP, that's why I couldn't perform in the main event. Okay. It was the PTSD of the forest fires. All right, okay. So what's the biggest story we need to talk about in the world of mixed martial arts that didn't involve Nate the Train Lambert or Saturday Night?
I mean, you know, it's kind of dealer's choice here. It's either Jorge Gamebred Masvidal on a couple of people, or one of the guys who has an issue with, Khamzat Chimaev, on Jiří Procházka.
Yeah, go on. Give everyone the lowdown on Jiří, because this is kind of wild.
So Chimaev went on the MMA Hour with Ariel last week, and he was talking about how when he was a sparring partner of Jiří Procházka, he would go in the training room. He said that he won a bunch of rounds off of him and submitted the former champion a number of times. So Jiří took exception to this. He hopped on Instagram on his story, and he said, look, you know, I was taking it pretty easy on you. I was going light. You're a much, you know, smaller fighter. If we get into the cage again, let me get my hands on you and we'll see what happens. No more taking it easy. Talk about others less. Practice self-love.
Yeah. So
Chimaev responded and said that he is ready for a fight in Sweden with Procházka in June.
Well, I mean, listen, this is the thing. When you talk about training, it does annoy people. I know, because I talked about sparring Luke Rockhold, and that's where that whole rivalry started. I was only joking. So, all right, maybe Khamzat did take him down because he's a good wrestler, and maybe he did submit him, because in the training room that happens all the time, and you shouldn't really tap and tell. You know, but Khamzat, I guess Khamzat wants a bit of attention, because he hasn't fought recently and he's not fighting anytime soon. He's getting called out a lot. You shouldn't talk about that, certainly when you submit somebody, because it doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? Because you're not fighting with 100% effort and everything you've got. And maybe you're not in the best shape. Maybe you're just popping in the gym. Maybe you had some, you're stressed out. Maybe you were hungover. You know, who knows what it is? You know what I mean? There's a lot of external factors to why you might have got tapped out. And then there's also the fact that some people are just game day fighters. Like Quinton Rampage Jackson was awful in the gym. Awful. Because he didn't care. He hates training. He never showed up. Didn't like doing jiu-jitsu. He would get tapped out quite a lot. You know what I mean? But good luck doing that on fight night. Good luck doing that on fight night. Do you know what I mean? The man will knock you out and he would rather go to sleep before you submit him. You know what I'm saying? So that's just a perfect example right there. And Rampage, you know, fair play to the guy. He has no problem admitting that. You know what I mean? Admits he hates training. Who's actually out in Thailand right now with Bob Sapp. I don't know if you follow him on Instagram, but him and Bob Sapp are training together. And him and Bob Sapp are doing, I forget what you call it, they're doing some kind of fight against two other people in one t-shirt where they get one arm each coming out. Yeah, I swear to God. Bob Sapp and Quinton Rampage Jackson, what a duo that is. So yeah, anyway, back to Khamzat. You don't have to look for it. Khamzat and Jiří Procházka. I mean, I thought Jiří was going to fight Jamal Hill.
Yeah, I would, you know, I would assume so, but, you know, depending on what's going on, if he's looking for a tune-up against the guy who used to fight at welterweight, I can't think of a much better high-profile fight. But yeah, I mean, I'd imagine he's going to go for a title shot, and this is just Chimaev again inserting himself into the conversation where he won't have to back it up.
Yeah. Well, did you see Masvidal talking about?
I did.
Yeah, Chimaev as well. So there's a video. It was on the MMA Hour today, and because listen, I don't think Khamzat Chimaev is ever going to fight at 170 ever again. Okay, I happen to know that, you know, he's talking about 185 fights. I don't know the people matched up. I do know the people matched up, but I'm not going to say them because it's none of my business. It's not my business to announce these things, but he's trying to fight at 185. He missed weight badly at 170 last time out. 8 pounds, something like that. And that's what Masvidal was saying. Masvidal's talking a lot of shit, saying, you know, this, that, and the other. In fact, have you got the quotes? Do you see that, what that is? No? If not, I can bring it up.
I'll pull it up right here. I saw Khamzat do a comment that he was calling out Alex Pereira. Who the F are you? This is the world champion. You don't even have a win over a top 15 middleweight. You can't miss weight by 8.5 pounds and call for title shots. Get the F out of here. Go fight and then talk. Gilbert Burns, yeah. The guy you got a split decision win over. I'm about to bury that dude, bro.
I saw Khamzat Chimaev, he was talking, blah, blah, blah. Get the F out of here. Go right. Go fight and then talk. Gilbert Burns, the guy, he got a split decision. I'm about to go and bury that dude. I don't think anyone's going to bury Gilbert Burns, but I'm excited for that fight. I mean, listen, you know, that's smart of Masvidal. It's smart of Masvidal. I mean, you know, everyone's... Hamzat gets clicks. Hamzat gets views. Hamzat is insanely... Let me just look at his Instagram now, because he hasn't been on the scene long, but every time I saw him, every time I see it... Oh, here's a response from Colby. Never got your email. Oh... Boys. Colby never got the email.
Ruh-roh.
Come on.
You know who did get the email?
Who?
Nate the Train Landwehr.
Because he's here right now.
He is here right now.
Hold on.
If you send me Colby's email, I'll take care of that while you're
Bring in Nate the Train. Bring in Nate the Train. Bring in
what
Nate
up?
The Train. What is going on, Nate? How are you, buddy?
I'm chilling, man. Let's paint this little room.
What are you doing in there at the house? What's that?
Doing a little painting at the house.
Nice. Well, so you're fighting Saturday night. You have an amazing performance. And Monday, no rest for the wicked. You're straight on it. Home improvements.
My brother, look at this right here. I'm a master painter. That's what I used to do, is paint houses. I didn't take me like...
Oh, really? Nate, listen. Saturday
night. Hey, these hands got some talent, baby.
Hey, so you went full WWE Saturday night. Give me a flex of that bicep again. Come on, let's see.
Oh, okay. I might got the best one. Let me get it on camera, though. I got the best one. I think you thought it's about to ban this baby.
Hey, do us a favor. Try and stay in the same spot, because the bloody what's it called, you know, the Wi-Fi, it's all getting pixelated and all that good stuff.
But
Saturday, hey, man, Nate, Saturday night, you were amazing, buddy. You were phenomenal. I mean,
yeah, man, felt sharp.
Talk to me about that fight from your perspective.
Yeah, felt sharp, man. I knew that, you know, I knew he would wilt on his own. I didn't have to press the action too much, because I knew that just him being there for trying to fight me hard, he's going to wilt. So I just was like, I knew he was going to be good. He's going to swing punches at my face. So I just block. And then I was hitting him with some... You can barely even see it on film, because they're so clean and crisp, little punches in between. Pop, pop. You can see on his face too, though. His whole demeanor was like, oh, you could tell he's getting touched. And then hit him with that kick to the head, boom, locked him down, finished his ass.
Yeah. No. It was very impressive. As you say, some of your counter shots, the uppercuts and the punches on the inside, were very fast, very quick. Looks like you're getting better all the time, Nate. Last time out against David Onama, I mean, you had that crowd eating out of the palm of your hand.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how good does that feel when the crowd... Talk to me about it, because you seem like you particularly love it.
Oh, man, I love that, man. I'm trying to blend the style just so I can get the best of both worlds. Be safe, be active, and bring that it factor, you know what I mean? The fans, without the fans, there's no us. And without the us, there's no fans at the show. So it's like a symbiotic relationship, brother. And I'm master of it.
Well, when you fought David Onama, you had him down. And we'll get back to your fight on Saturday in a second, and what's next, and all that good stuff. But when you fought David Onama, you had full side control. I think you might have even had mount at one point, and you were just like, nah, screw this. I'm getting up. You're giving it to the crowd, and then you go right back to fighting. I mean, what did your coaches say to you after that? Were they like, bro, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's basically, it was exciting, because, I mean, it was a great moment in the history of my fighting career and probably for the UFC. Nobody do no shit like that. And they was like, man, come on, next time, baby. I was like, I could do better next time, but this time we got footage, baby. Like I said, I got a highlight reel like Evel Knievel. My shit, wild.
So tell the people, for anyone that doesn't know about Nate the Train, give him a quick bit of your background, if you don't mind, you know, how you got into MMA, you know, how you found your path to the UFC. Tell them about Nate the Train Day in Clarksville, Tennessee.
Man, educate
the people.
Yeah, people, man. I'll tell you this. I started fighting, man. Walking past this gym. Well, I was really running past the gym, seeing the gym, walked in, had my first fight, amateur fight that weekend. Then I had 20 fights in 2 years as an amateur, boom, banging them bitches out. I'm different. And then I went pro in 2012, was on the regional scene for a little bit, smashing shit, and then got the call, go over to the Russia, went to Russia for M1. You know, it's ironic to me that you're commentating most of my fights, Michael, because Oh, for M1, it was the machine. Ian Freeman. He was the commentator. He brought that Britishness to it. And yeah, the machine, and then you got you. So it's pretty ironic that way. But yeah, me and the machine had some great times over there in M1, and made hella memories, smashed it, traveled the world. Now I'm back in America, USA, and taking over the scene, baby, getting a little. You know what? When I fight, I try to be at the tip of the tongue. After the fight, it's the tip of the tongue, Nate the Train. Everybody's talking. That's why I was telling y'all in that fight meeting, let me get a couple Nate the Trains in there. Nate the Train, trying to make it real catchy. Sound good, it's catchy, three letters, three words, boom. Nate the Train, baby. That's Nate all you need to know.
So Nate the Train Day, talk me through the day. What happens? How do people celebrate you?
Oh, man, a while back after I won that title in Russia, became a world champion for the first time. They gave me a day. I think it's August 28th, 29th. And just a little Clarksville, little holiday. But, you know, that's what I think about fighting in general. Every time I fight, it's a holiday, man. It gives my family a reason to come together and celebrate something. You know, sometimes you only see your family when bad shit happen. But in this case, Nate the Train fights. We all get together. They all have a good time, man. I bring that to the factor.
Do you have kids, Nate?
Not yet, brother. We're working on it as we speak.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, what do you want next? I mean, Saturday night, it was a great performance. You rocked it on the microphone. I think you're slowly now breaking out as one of the stars of that division. Do you have a name? So who do you want to fight next? And you called someone out Saturday night, right? Just remind me.
Man, I said we could run back to Alex Caceres fight if that's what they want me to do. If they want me to, I would like to fight Dan Ige. I think Dan Ige would be a good one. We could fight for that 50. I done got 50K three times in a row. I might be the 50K train. He's 50. He's Dan 50K. I guess we just got to fight for that nickname. That'll be a banger. Pretty much, I still want to fight Evloev Mozart. He's on my list, man. It might not, like the wise words of a 125-pound champion, it might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, but one day I'm going to fight his motherfucking ass, you know what I mean?
brilliant. Tell me about the featherweight king, Volkanovski. He's going up against probably Yair Rodriguez soon. How do you see that one playing out?
I feel like he's going to get the dub, bro. Come on, he's right now. I think it's going to take more than craftiness to beat him. I think it's going to take blunt force trauma to get him out of there. That's the only thing we've seen that hasn't worked yet. Think about it. If Max couldn't hit him with punches and he beat Yair, I don't think Yair is going to be able to get him out of there with that. It's going to have to be somebody that's brutal. It's going to be somebody that's a dog and ready to die in that bitch.
Yep. All right, and I agree. What are we – what room are we in there? What are we painting, Nate?
Oh, just my little spare room right here, you know what I'm saying? Just trying to get it ready.
What were you doing before you were fighting to make money?
Oh, that's what I did. Job. I painted some houses. That's what I did. We came through, painted it up, man, and fight, bro.
Yeah. Brilliant. So what did you do after the fight?
Shit. Had a little meal with my family. I mean, had a little meal with my coach and right after the fight, coaches, my wife, my manager, Brian Butler. And then I went back to the hotel room, man. The fight was easy, but I'm not going to be out here partying and shit. I'm trying to get back to the mission.
Well, you know who you remind me of? You remind me of a guy called Colby Covington. Do you know what I mean? The way that you fight, the pace that you have, and on the microphone as well. And I believe Colby might be backstage right now. If he is, put him on. Let you guys say hi to one another real quick. Turn it over.
Your chaos.
There it is. Did you see his fight, Colby, on Saturday?
Of course. You know, I don't normally watch fights, but I had to tune in for my boy. I knew Nate was going to put on an ass whooping, and the train's going to keep rolling. Just like I tell everybody, Mike, get off the tracks when the train's coming through.
Let's go. I like that. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. Like,
that's what he always said. Better fight smart. I was like, I'll fight smart. All right, blah, blah, blah. Take his ass down, snatch his neck. Done dollar.
Oh, that's awesome, Nate. Listen, we'll let you get back to the painting, brother. Thanks for jumping on. Always love watching you fight. Can't wait to see you again.
And, all right,
yeah.
I'll be back down in Miami soon too.
Get that. You got to do the cutting in, bro. Have you done the cutting?
I was the highs up here, and I got to cut the lows in.
FitMod is the workout app that's going to change your workout routines, change your life, make you in shape, give you energy, get you inspired, show you new workout routines, and save you money. FitMod is the app that creates workout routines that is based on your personal goals, your fitness levels, and more importantly, your available equipment, okay? So sometimes you haven't got access to a gym, you're on the road, you're in a hotel room, whatever it is, wherever you are, it will have workouts suited to your environment. Also, it learns from your previous workout and it adapts as you improve so you can keep the momentum going all the way into next year and beyond. So just pick a fitness goal, add the equipment that you have, and FitMod creates the workout routine for you. So whether you're missing gym time or you've hit a plateau, a fresh start has never been easier. Also, the app switches up your exercises so you avoid overtraining or getting burnt out. And the program changes based on your personal progress for maximized results. So whether you work out in the weight room or, as I say, in your bedroom, FitMod has a plan for you. And the great thing is you can learn the new movements, the exercises, the correct way. Because on the app, there is all the 1,400 HD demonstration videos. And this is the best part, FitMod, a full year of it costs you less than the cost of a single session with a personal trainer. So you don't know what to do. You're sick of your same workouts. You don't know where you're going. You're not seeing results. Give this a try. Oh, and by the way, I said the best bit was the videos. No, the best bit is this. Check out this offer. Get 25% off your subscription or you try the app out for free. Yes, free at fitmod.me/believe. 25% off your subscription or try the app out for free. That's fitmod.me/believe. Colby Covington. What's up, brother?
Mr. Sir Mike Bisping. How are you, brother? Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Fortunately, you have a no disrespect to Nate the Train. You have a slightly better connection, a setup, and all the rest of it. I could hardly see him. It was like I was talking to him from the 1980s. I'm good, Colby. I was telling on the podcast a couple of weeks ago when I saw you last. I was at the airport, as you know, and had no sleep. I'd stayed up all night because by the time I got back from the arena, it was like 3:30 in the morning. I thought, oh, I've got to be at the airport. So I stayed up and I was like a zombie. Then you jumped on my back. I shit my pants. Ah! I screamed like that. And I looked around and you were laughing your head off. Good to see. It was good to see you, man. How you been since then?
Man, it was good to see you. I didn't sleep that night either. I had the adrenaline at an all-time high, you know, leaving to the airport. And then I see you. I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to go surprise Bisping. And then I immediately after I did that, I was like, man, I probably shouldn't have done that because I know some fan had an interaction with you and tried to do the same and mess around and go too far with you before. So I was like, oh, man, I'm not trying to get punched by Bisping. I need to watch my
No. Don't be silly. So listen, let's go back to that night then. Obviously, Leon Edwards got the job done against Kamaru Usman. Give me your quick assessment about that, Colby.
Yeah, he got the job done. It wasn't anything impressive. He didn't separate himself. He didn't look like he was a world beater. You know, a lot of the fans, they didn't know who won. It was a close fight. What I did see from Usman is not the same Usman that I fought. You know, Marty was a completely different fighter when I fought him a couple years ago. He just looks like the hunger is gone. You know, he doesn't train as hard. Now he's making all these excuses with injuries. So maybe that's why I was there as the backup fighter in the first place, because, you know, they didn't know if Marty was going to show up. And, you know, Leon should have been thanking me because, you know, this was his big homecoming in London and England. And, you know, I was there to save the show in case anything happened. You know, I was there to sell a little bit more pay-per-views because the fight, nobody was interested in Leon Scott and Marty Fake Newsman. So, you know, it wasn't anything special that I saw for Leon. And I'm excited to get my hands on him next. Where's he at, Mike? Where's he hiding, man?
Right. So listen, we got to talk about this because obviously, right, Dana said that you're next. You flew out and made weight. And I'm assuming, and in fact, answer this. Did they say to you, listen, if you go out and be the backup fighter, we will reward you making that sacrifice and showing that loyalty to the company by giving you a title fight next? Is that kind of the situation?
to be honest, Mike, no, there wasn't any guarantees that I was going to get the next title shot. You know, I think I just went out there and handled my business in an ultra professional way where I showed to the UFC my true value and my true colors, you know, that I was willing to fight either guy on a moment's notice. They called me Tuesday night. You know, they give me a warning a couple weeks before, like, hey, stay ready just in case. But I didn't know for sure, Mike, that I was going over there until Tuesday night. They were like, hey, we need you to come weigh in. There might be some issues with the main event. We need you to possibly come fight, but you have to make weight for sure. So when they told me that, you know, I was just like, hey, okay, let's do this. This is what I've been telling them, that I'm ready on a moment's notice. Anybody in the world, I'm ready any place, anytime, anyone. So, you know, I think the numbers and just my actions spoke louder than words, Mike, and that's why I'm getting the next title shot.
And so that's officially on, because I'm assuming – or is it officially on? Because I'm sure you've seen the pushback from Leon. He's looking at Masvidal if he beats Burns, maybe. What is your counter to that? What is your response to all of that noise?
Yeah, you know, Mike, I gave Leon the best advice he could ever get the other day. I said, don't cross your boss. Look at last time Leon tried to cross his boss and act like he makes the calls. He was removed from the rankings. The guy sat out 2 years. Didn't fight for 2 years, Michael. Said, oh, I deserve a title shot. I deserve this. I deserve that. Dude, you're on a winning streak because you're beating regional level fighters, dude. Until you get some high profile wins, main event spotlights, some former world champions, world champion, big main event fights. Don't be complaining. Ask for stuff that you don't deserve. So he just found out the hard way, Mike, that he doesn't call the shots in the UFC. He shouldn't cross the boss. He should listen to the company. You know, he should be a company man like Colby Covington.
People get shit. I get called a company man all the time. It's like, being a company man's worked out for me. I'm doing all right. I'm still working with the UFC almost 20 years later. So what is the actual angle? So what have you heard? Obviously, I'm assuming you and Dana have had a little conversation since then, because Leon's saying, you know, you don't deserve it. So what is the official stance from your understanding?
Yeah, I mean, my official standing and all the UFC brass, Dana White, you know, Ari Emanuel, Hunter Campbell, you know, they've all said the same thing. I'm fighting for the world championship, the undisputed world championship this summer, Mike. Whether Leon shows up and fights in it or not, that's going to be his decision. If he's afraid to fight and he doesn't want to fight me because I'm the hardest matchup in the division and the most worthy guy, Mike, let's talk about facts. You know, I'm the next contender in line that he hasn't fought. You know, I draw the biggest numbers in the division, so it's the biggest opportunity for him. I'm obviously the best-looking fighter in the division. No one can debate that. So, you know, all my credentials adds up, you know. It's going to happen, Mike. So whether he shows up, it is up to him. I hope he doesn't. You know, he's going to learn the hard way. You know, you don't cross the boss.
What do you say, though, to Leon if he says, listen, I've got history with Masvidal. You know, you lost your last – well, you didn't – your last fight was to Kamaru, right? Just refresh.
My last fight?
Yeah.
No, my last fight.
Oh, no. It was Masvidal.
The 50-44 in a soda, Mike.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You did. My apologies. A lot of fights, a lot of flights, a lot of late nights. So technically then you have a better state than Masvidal because you literally beat him in his last fight.
Yeah, I literally beat Street Judas Masvidal in his last fight, 54 in a soda. Wasn't even competitive. Mike blew him out of the arena. So you can't give a guy that's on a three-fight losing streak and got 50-45 by the real guy, America's champ, Donald Trump's favorite fighter, the King of Miami, without, you know, putting me in there. So, you know, that fight's not going to happen. If they want to fight, Mike, if Leon wants to fight Masvidal so bad, don't worry. He can go fight him on the prelims after I destroy him this summer. But he's not getting out of this ass-whooping. Mike, where's he at, man? Dude, when I came to London, I didn't know if I was in Hogwarts. I didn't know if I was in Harry Potter world or if I was in Newark, New Jersey. But man, go find him in one of those little Hogwarts villas and bring him out. Like,
listen, you were in and out of the country, but you didn't like it, did you?
I didn't like it, Mike. I can't have some guy in a castle across the pond telling me the way I need to live my life. The food was terrible, but the people, man, Mike, I have so much respect for the fans, for the people. Man, all the people there are great. They deserve better, Mike. Listen, all the people of London, England, you want to come to Miami, the King of Miami will show you a good time in Miami. Nothing but beaches, good, clear blue skies, and the best food in the world.
So, in a perfect world, where does this fight with Leon go down?
Yeah, in a perfect world, it goes down International Fight Week. That's the biggest spectacle of the sport. You know, that's the summer when everybody's, you know, on their summer breaks and got free time to come watch the biggest and best fights. So, you know, that's going to be a spectacle. The International Fight Week is when it needs to happen. I know the UFC, they want to get it done around that time. So hopefully Leon shows up. If not, he's going to find the hard way that you don't cross the boss and you don't call the shots. Leon, you're not a huge draw. So, you know, yeah, you won the world title, but, you know, you beat a show of the former self and Marty Fake Newsman. Now you need to come see the man. If he's so good, if Leon's such a badass fighter, Mike, why does he want to come fight me? I'm the next contender in line. Like, I'm the biggest draw in the division. Like, why is he trying to get out of this fight, this ass beating? Like, he should believe in his skills more. And also, Mike, what other fighter that they match him up against is going to be, the odds are going to be like the odds that you see between me and him right now. You're already seeing some odds out there. I'm a favorite. I'm a slight underdog. No other contender is going to put up those type of odds against him.
So if just playing devil's advocate, if I was on the other side of the coin, right, I would, and some people might say, Kamaru Usman beat you twice. You have a very similar style to Kamaru. What are you going to do differently that Kamaru couldn't?
You know, Mike, I don't walk around with that weight on my back like Kamaru beat me twice. He did not beat me twice. If you go back and watch the tape of when I fought him in Madison Square Garden two Novembers ago in 2021, I clearly beat him. Every fan, when I left that arena, Mike, they were like, Colby, you won that fight. You easily won 3-2. So just because the judges didn't give me it, I lost a little split decision by one round. I beat him that night. I know I'm a better fighter than him. So, you know, I've improved and evolved a lot since then, Mike. I have a chip on my shoulder, you know, and like, I knew that that wasn't the last of me fighting for world titles and that I would come back. I would be this underdog story that comes back and reclaims the title. I faced my trials and tribulations, Mike. I faced my hardships and adversity. Now I'm back better than ever, and you're going to see a new version of me, Colby Chaos Covington 2.0, next time I get in that cage for the undisputed world title.
Nice. I'm looking forward to it. Listen, I said when I saw you at the airport, you know, you were so respectful and a very, very nice guy. So I'm not trying to do what Chael Sonnen would say, reveal the business and telling tales. But you are a very, very nice, respectable guy. And when you step in the octagon, of course, you turn that on. When you're doing your interviews and everything, you're selling yourself. You're selling the brand. What's Colby Covington like on a Tuesday evening when he's sitting down with someone of his friends or loved ones or whatever? What is that version of Colby like?
You know, that's the same version as you see right now, man. I'm in this silk, you know, this sleek little outfit. I'm living good, man. I got a house on my neck. I'm walking around styling and profiling, baby. So, you know, I just like to enjoy life and get people fired up and you know, seeing all my haters just be miserable is the best thing in the world. So, you know, there's a lot of people that hate Mike Bisping, but they don't know the real gentleman that Mike Bisping is. He's a true gentleman.
Especially after Saturday night, there's even more. Apparently, I was biased in my commentary and stuff. A lot of people hate me. Who cares?
Who cares? You know, everybody has an opinion, and it's not always going to be the same as yours. But, you know, agree to disagree. You still got to respect your body of work and what you've done for the sport. So, you know, you got the last win over us Americans, Mike. So I'm trying to come back and get one back for my people, man. I got to make this drag, man. So, Leon, man, you need to stop hiding. You need to come out here, defend your fucking country, and show that you're a real champion. If you're a real champion, you'll beat anybody. So come get it, Leon. I'm waiting for you, Leon Scott.
So tell me this then, if and when, and I do think it will be a when this fight gets signed and announced, what happens? How does that go down? How does that fight end?
Yeah, Mike, I beat him from pillar to post. I beat him everywhere. I'm a better wrestler. I'm a better striker, better jujitsu. You know, my cardio, he can't hang. You know, he slows down in fights. You know, those last couple rounds, he comes out hard and he'll throw 50, 60 kicks, 50, 60 punches. But then, you know, his volume changes as the fight goes on. So I will wear him out, Michael. And you know, I will break him. I'll break his will. And, you know, you see that. That's why he's not selling the fight. He had the perfect opportunity, the spotlight in London, to call me out, to the man in the division, the biggest draw, to make it even bigger. And, you know, he didn't call me out, Mike. So there's probably a reason for that. If I would have went in the cage, you know, all the London fans were embracing me. Colby. So maybe he didn't want to get his feelings hurt. But, you know, he needs to start fucking doing his part, carrying his weight as a champion and coming for the next man up. He knows what's going to happen, Mike. He's going to get broken in front of the world.
I genuinely thought you were going to get in the octagon because that would have been the best promo ever. I thought that was going to happen. Was that even mentioned or even discussed?
Yeah, it wasn't discussed, you know, but it's definitely something I wanted to do. That little stooge of his, that little coach in his corner, the bald guy is always talking this shit like he's some great fighter. He's like grabbing his nuts at me saying, oh, fuck you. I'm going to fuck you up, Colby, blah, blah, blah. Like, come on, you little stooge. Come on, bro. Dude, hold my fucking water, bro. You couldn't do shit, dude. So I wanted to get up in there. But, you know, I respect the UFC business. I respect everything, the company. You know, I'm a company man, Mike. So Colby Covington is the ultimate company man. I didn't want to break any boundaries, you know, step in their space and mess up their business on pay-per-view. So, I was polite. Leon didn't want to call out the man. So, you know, that's too bad for him. It's just less money. That's why he's not a money fighter.
Obviously, he wants to fight Masvidal, and I kind of get it. You know, the whole three-piece in a soda thing, but Masvidal's fighting Gilbert Burns next week. How do you see that fight going down?
I George is a broken man. He's not the same fighter after I destroyed him and beat him 50-44 with the soda. Obviously, he's had an emotional letdown, and, you know, his life is unraveling, Mike. You know, look at obviously what he came and did, you know, And the guy's done a lot of drugs and just a lot of things that have rotted his brain and his body. And he's just, you know, you could tell he's just not the same person. So, you know, I just see, you know, Dilbert getting an easy win. And Gilbert's a nice guy, you know, family guy. He's not Colby Covington, so he's not going to get a title shot off of beating Street Judas. But, you know, the thing is, Mike, he's going to be one or two fights away after he beats Street Judas. And he's going to be close, you know. He might want to get a new manager, though, Mike. You know, I'm self-managed. I manage myself at Colby Covington Incorporated. So
really?
Yeah.
You have no manager?
Maybe he's thinking about doing the same.
You have no manager at all?
No manager at all. I deal directly with the UFC.
Well, good for you, man. More money in your pocket because you're doing well as well. I don't want any details whatsoever because I'm assuming you can't talk about it. But is the legal thing still ongoing with Masvidal? And as I say, I don't expect details because if it is, I understand that's a very delicate thing.
Yeah, you know, he's in the hands of the justice system. You know, when you break the law in this country, you know, and assault a civilian, you know, you got to pay the price. So. Yeah, you know, I'm just going to leave the legal system up to that. It's sure. out of my hands. It's out of my hands at this point. You know, it's up to the state.
Yeah, attorney. Yeah, yeah. No. Fair enough. And as I say, I don't expect any details whatsoever. But yeah. I did genuinely wonder. So International Fight Week, Leon Edwards, Leon versus Colby Covington. I mean, you're already talking a lot of shit. You're ruffling his feathers, I'm sure. Let me ask you about this. I've got to ask you, John Anik, come on. We know you like to play around and you have some fun, Colby. John Anik's the man. And I know he's spearheading Bilal Muhammad, right? And I get that. And I get that it annoys you because he's trying to fuck up your title shot, you know? So that's going to give you an emotional response. But John Anik, what's going on, buddy? What's going on with Anik?
Mike, you know, like, I guess John found out that, you know, the stove can be really hot. Maybe you shouldn't touch it. So, you know, I tell everybody the same thing, you know, like when the train's coming through, you know, you better get off the track so you're going to get ran over. So, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, no one's safe in this business, Mike. Like everybody that wants to come and drag me down, they don't know what I've been through. They don't know how hard I work every day to stay at this level and the top of the game. So, you know, if you come for the king, you know, the king's going to have a response.
No, fair enough. I don't think John is, you know, I don't think he's going to lose his children. I think me and you both know that. But you are always supremely conditioned, Colby. Do you mind real quick, and we won't keep you too much longer, and thanks again for your time. Really, really do appreciate it. Yeah, I really appreciate it because, you know, we had a stupid thing on Fox Sports years ago. You know, we went back and forth. And then the next time I spoke to you, it was a long time after, was when I did an interview for BT Sport. And I came away from that thinking, wow, Colby's the man. And then, of course, I saw you again last week. You are always super crazy conditioned. What is, like, the average training day for you?
Yeah, the average training day is just, you know, getting up in the morning, you know, getting a good meal in me. You know, I think that's a big reason for my conditioning is just the healthy diet that I consistently, you know, have every day. You know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner is all organic meals and listen to a food pyramid type of diet plan. You know, getting your greens, getting your protein, getting your carbohydrates, getting a lot of water. So, you know, I think the diet is the number one thing, but also, it's just the mentality. I get up and I go train after I eat about an hour or two later when my food is digested. And I give my all every day, Mike. And you know, I visualize seeing, you know, in these main event world title fight type fights. And I just push myself as hard as I can. And anytime the coaches tell me to do something, I'm always doing an extra round, an extra punch, an extra couple reps. You know, just I'm always trying to do extra and create extra edges that no one else is doing. So, You know, by staying out after training a little bit extra longer, doing a couple extra sit-ups, push-ups, bench, couple sprints, you know, I think that's what separates me. It's just, you know, putting in the extra work. So, you know, I'm a very disciplined guy. I don't party, you know. I live the lifestyle right now. I'm a 24/7, 365 fighter. You know, I'm not a part-time fighter. So, you know, while I'm in this sport and, until I'm retired in a couple years, 5 years from now, then I'm not going to worry about anything else but being the absolute best I can be.
And people say, I don't know, I've never asked you, but apparently you don't cut very much weight. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, when I'm in training camp and I'm training every day, 10, 12 pounds is the weight class I'm over, you know, the championship limit. So I'm not a big
the whole time. Like, for example, right now, what do you weigh? Like 182, something like that?
Yeah, 182, 183 max.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I just, people try to tell me in the beginning of my career, Mike, they're like, oh, you need to be lightweight. You know, you need to cut down. You'll be bigger than these guys. You'll be able to overpower. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do that, because you cut that weight, then you're going to lose a lot of speed. You're going to lose a lot of energy because you're depleting yourself and you have no water in your body, your brain. So, you know, I like fighting in my natural weight class. I'm not a weight bully like Kumshat Chimaev, that dog face looking motherfucker. That guy has to cut down fucking 30, 40 pounds to try and make welterweight because he wants to be a weight bully and bully these guys. Yeah, if I cut all that weight, Mike, I'd be fighting Henry Cejudo and Sean O'Malley, but I'm not a weight bully. I'll fight my natural weight class because I believe in my skills and I know I'm the best fighter in the world.
Yeah. Well, Kumshat Chimaev. I mean, Kumshat Chimaev, you got me saying it now as well. He's going back and forth. Who is he talking about now? He's talking about Jiří Procházka. He's talking about Jorge Masvidal. He's out there starting arguments with everyone.
Man, Kumshat, he's so like just puzzled. He doesn't know what his life is going. He knows he's too big. He can't make the weight. You missed weight by 9 pounds. You had the easiest fight in the division. The UFC was giving you a layup to set this up, this mega pay-per-view blockbuster with me. And he couldn't even come within 3-4 pounds, 9 pounds over, Mike. That's so unprofessional. I mean,
yep.
You know, there's a reason he's in the doghouse and you know, he's sitting on the sidelines and he's going to have to go up to middleweight. He's not going to be a welterweight anymore. So, you know, he had a shot, but he blew it.
Yeah. You mentioned Hamza, so it kind of threw me off. But just going back to the weight cutting thing that you were talking about, I think it's so valuable that younger fighters particularly listen to what you're saying, because it will protect your brain. You know, it will allow you to go at a faster pace like you did, like you do. And throughout the camp, you're allowed, well, you can take on nutrients. You can recover from the training sessions. So what would you say do you have any advice out there for younger fighters? Because it seems a lot of people are obsessed with cutting the most weight amount of possible because they think it's going to give them an advantage, but it is so incorrect. You know, I'm against that big time, but do you have a word for the next generation, Colby?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. You know, I see it in wrestling and I've seen it, you know, throughout my 15 years in my MMA journey is these guys are so focused on cutting the weight, Mike, that they take away from their, you know, progressions as a fighter in the training because they can't focus on their techniques and feel good and like working different combos because they're just so energy depleted because they're cutting so much mass amount of weight that, you know, they really sacrifice their training and their development as a martial artist and they can't get better because they're so focused on just cutting weight. So, you know, I encourage the next generation of fighters, Mike, to fight more by your natural weight class, you know, fight at a weight class, you're 5-10 pounds over the weight and you feel good. You know, it's, you don't want to take too much water out of your brain. You get touched, you get knocked out. You know, that's why I've never been knocked unconscious in the octagon, Mike, is because I don't cut a lot of weight and I have all the water in my brain. And I feel good, tons of energy. And obviously I can go all day. I'm like the Energizer Bunny.
Have you ever felt like you were overpowered? Because even when I was at 205, you know, I made the mistake. You know what I mean? If you can't beat them, join them, follow the crowd, whatever. So I went down to 185. But even at 205, I never felt overpowered. So at 170, you're not cutting weight like the other people, but I'm assuming the answer is no.
Yeah, absolutely not. I've never felt overpowered, you know, just because my energy levels are so high and like, you know, I just feel so good when I'm fighting. Like, it, you know, the power doesn't make a difference. You know, the more power they have, the more oxygen they have to feed to the muscles. So they're going to get tired a lot quicker and then you're going to wear on them. And then, you know, that's when you can take over. So now I've never felt overpowered, but, you know, maybe that's more just mindset and believing and feeling good, all the elements that go into the fights.
Yep. No, wise words indeed. Okay, we'll let you go in just a second. So in your world, International Fight Week, you fight Leon Edwards, you take the belt off him. In the meantime, Conor McGregor, if it works out, beats Michael Chandler. Are we saying Conor McGregor versus Colby Covington later in the year for the 170-pound title? Is that the perfect scenario for you?
You know, I think that'd be beautiful, Michael. Just, you know, I think it's the perfect scenario for the company. And I'm a company man. Colby Covington is a company man. He loves the company that changed his life. And he wants to do the biggest and best business for the company. Everybody knows the star power that is Conor McGregor, the biggest draw. You know, the things he's done have been so unpredictable. You can never count that guy out. That guy can spark anybody, you know, inside, you know, 10 seconds, as we've seen what he did with Aldo. So, you know, you can't underestimate that guy. I think it would be a great fight with fireworks. And I think it would be the biggest fight, biggest selling fight in UFC history with, you know, Colby Chaos Covington and Conor McGregor at the top of the docket. USA versus Ireland. There's a lot of different angles that fight goes, Mike. So, if it happens, that'd be beautiful. But, you know, I'm just going to keep chasing the biggest and best fights, keep getting better, and, you know, keep solidifying my legacy.
All right. Well, listen, can't wait to see how it plays out. Harrington, so this is our producer. He's been to Twitter. He's just asked real quick. He's going to have two or quick three quick fire questions to throw at you, Colby, if you don't mind, if you have the time. And thanks again. Harrington,
yes,
what
sir.
Have we got for Colby James Covington?
Okay. Buzzy Bear wants to know, how come you didn't accept the fight with Bilal at UFC 286 when you were able to weigh in and prepare to fight?
I apologize, Colby. Geez Louise, what are you doing?
It's the first question people are asking.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you the honest truth. That's fake news. I was never offered Bill Lyle. You know, I wasn't offered the racist. That guy's very racist. He said that I'm getting my title shot because I'm white. That's racism, clear racism. He should be kicked off the panel at ESPN. But let me tell you the truth. Never was offered Bill Lyle. The guy, he's beaten eight or seven guys on the regional circuit. When you start winning high-level fights, former world champion, top five ranked fights, then you can start talking about getting these big fights and title shots and this and that. But until you do that, stop saying my name, bro. That's all fake news. I've never been offered. I've accepted every fight I've been offered from Hunter and Dana White. They've offered me Dustin Poirier. I was ready for that fight. It was going to sell big tickets because he got me kicked out of my old gym. So that fight, that's a personal vendetta. That's not about like a big fight.
They offered Dustin Poirier.
Yes, Dustin Poirier. I accepted with cum shot to mine. I said, let's do it. I'm going to end this hype. This guy cannot keep up with me for five rounds. You saw what happened with him and Gilbert in three rounds. He was breaking. I will break that guy and I will end his hype for good. So I accepted every fight that's been offered to me. Dustin Poirier, Khamzat Chimaev, Baba. There's no other fights that have been presented to me. If someone says that they've presented a fight, show me a contract. Show me anything. Oh, he's showing text from his dietitian? Bill Lyle, let me tell you one piece of advice. Get a new manager. Get a new manager, Bill Lyle.
All right. Mike Ryan.
Hell of an answer. And so, yeah, great question.
Honest truth. I'm always real.
Mike Ryan wants to know, who's your favorite pro wrestler growing up? And then Kev Bronson to follow up. How soon after you retire from MMA will you join AEW or WWE?
You know, there's a lot of great wrestlers. That's tough to pick just one. Of course, we all love Ric Flair and you know, the Rolex wearing, diamond jet flying, you know, Kiss son of a gun. You know, that guy's a legend. He was the man, the original the man. So, you know, Colby Covington's the man now in the UFC. So, you know, he's following in the footsteps of Daddy Flair. And, you know, we'll see. You know, I could be anywhere, anytime. That's what's unpredictable about chaos. You don't know what I'm going to do next. That's why people tune in, because they don't know where they're going to see me next.
Colby, talk to me about the pendant, the necklace, whatever you want to call it, the chaos. Is that solid gold and diamonds?
Solid gold and diamonds, my brother. That's the finest diamonds you're going to see. That's a $35,000 diamond tennis chain. And just straight gold right here. Let me show you. Chaos.
What are beautiful. We talking? What does something like that cost? I'm sure you didn't have to pay for it. I'm sure someone figured that out. But what is that worth?
No, I had to pay for it, bro. It was 50 Gs. So every one of these things I paid for. This is 50 Gs. That's 40 Gs. That's, you know, that's 50 Gs. Rolex, diamond studded. That's 30 Gs, you know, so... That's what happens when you work hard.
Life's
just like
good.
Yourself, Michael. You know, man. You fucking work hard for this company. You're a company man. So, you know, that's what the company takes care of, is people.
Finally said it like a compliment as opposed to an insult. There's nothing wrong with being, you know, the UFC is a great company and they've changed my life. And I recognize that. So I'm happy to I'm like, all right, call me a fucking company man all day long. I don't care. Harrington, one more, please, sir.
All right. Brian Cashman wants to know, what do you think the best win of your career to date is?
The best win of my career to date? Probably the Robbie Lawler fight. You know, this is, you know, one of the most scary fighters of the division. He was still, you know, knocking people's heads off when I fought him. And, you know, he was still the boogeyman of the division. You know, he was the guy that your parents told you about that was the boogeyman under your bed at night and you had nightmares about. So, you know, Robbie Lawler, it was an honor to share the octagon with him. And he's someone that, you know, I have a lot of respect and admiration for. So it was a honor to fight a first bout. He's a first bout Hall of Famer. So it was an honor.
Yeah, absolutely. And real quick, last one on this. Every time you do, I forget the website of the betting site that you promote. Every time you've got the girls on there, it's always different girls. Where are you finding these girls that are willing to stand there and be on your Instagram advertisements in their underwear?
Yeah, you know, there's the reason I'm the king of South Florida and king of Miami, Mike. These mamacitas like me out here. I mean, what's not to like? You know, like, the only reason I put these glasses on, Mike, is because we got business to talk about. I don't want all the ladies out there to fall in love with me with these beautiful hazel eyes. So,
oh, shit.
Like, I got a lot of mamacitas.
All right. Well, listen, on that note, we'll say goodbye. Colby, you are the man. Always entertaining. Yeah. Love your fights. Love what you bring to the octagon. Love you scaring the shit out of me at airports. And we'll see you soon. All the best, man. Thanks for coming on.
See you soon. Thanks for having me on, Mike. Take care.
Take it easy, buddy. Thank you, Colby. Thank you. All right, let's talk about Innovative Extracts. Innovative Extracts is a company specializing in THC, CBD, and it is a veteran-owned company located in Pennsylvania that, of course, offers a full lineup of all your CBD and THC requirements. Now, the reason that they stand out is that they own their own farm, and they only use organic practices to grow the hemp. They have the lab all on site to process the hemp into high quality CBD. They partner with GMP certified facilities and they use third party labs to ensure that all of their products maintain the highest quality, which is the best value on the market. It is the highest quality CBD at the most competitive prices. Look, listen, we all want to relieve stress, aches, pains, improve sleep. Well, these guys, they have products that help all of that. Their products will help, as I say, improve your sleep, improve your mood, reduce anxiety, and give you relief from pain and inflammation. And they have a wide variety of products to suit your taste, tinctures, gummies, gums, vapes, whatever you're looking for to take the edge off or give you a little buzz, then Innovative Extracts has a full line of Delta 8, 9, and 10 THC products that are legal and don't require any medical card, and they're available to ship right to your doorstep. So we recommend you try these guys out. Visit the website www.ie-cbd.com. You're going to get a huge 40% discount by using the promo code MMA. www.ie-cbd.com. All your THC, CBD, whatever you need to fall asleep, improve your mood. I'll stop saying that. But yeah, ie-cbd.com, 40% off when you use the promo code MMA. There he is. Hey, is there a more entertaining man in mixed martial arts?
He's just so damn dynamic and likable.
Do you know what I mean? Hey, listen, and even, all right, that's, he's got the act on there. He's being the character. But listen, come on, man. That is entertaining as hell. That was some of the best moments on this podcast we've had since we started doing it in 2015. I mean, come on. And he makes a lot of good cases. He makes a lot of good points, pardon me, you know?
Yeah, the Poirier fight out of nowhere.
I had no idea about what? That. I mean, wouldn't that have been sensational?
Yeah, man, that's what I feel like is robbed from the fans, because that is a grudge match I think we'd all like to see.
I think everyone would love to see that, you know? Wow. Yeah. Anyway, so I think that happens. I think it is going to be Leon versus Colby. You know, listen, as much as Leon can't be forced and it's not ancient Rome, you know what I mean? He does get a say, but I do think that's going to be the next fight. I really do.
Yeah, and I mean, what's a bigger payday for Leon Edwards too? You know what I mean? Like, this has the hype built in. It has, like, hate him or love him. You know what I mean? Like, the numbers speak for themselves. When he weighed in right? That the Colby Covington weigh-in did 10 times the views of Kamaru Usman and Leon Edwards weighing in on YouTube. And I know that's not necessarily you're going to convert all those people to pay-per-view buys, but certainly, you know, when Colby Covington's name comes into it, it does seem to be a bigger hyped event.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. Listen, he's got a great following. You know, he's got a great style. I love watching his fights, you know. Obviously, Masvidal and Burns, they've both got a case if they win. But Dana's already announced it. Dana's already said it. And because of that, it's going to happen. You know, more than likely, we'll see. We'll see what the champ Leon Edwards has to say. I did hit him up. All right, we've been going for a little while there. Anthony Smith, he texted us. He said, sadly, he can't make it. But we did have Nate the Train. Oh, we've got to talk about Nate the Train. Nate the Train definitely is a guy, I believe, I should have asked it, that has been inspired by Colby Covington, or should I say your Ric Flairs and your old school WWE wrestlers, you know what I mean? Maybe even The Rock or whatever. But you can see a little bit of that to it. And you can see the kind of style, you know, when he was tensing the bicep. But I got to say, well, what a guy.
Scott Steiner all day. Big Papa Pump, Scott, baby.
Big Scott Steiner, who's that?
He's an old school wrestler. He used to do the thing where he'd show off his bicep and then kiss it and Big Papa Pump and then these guns. That's, I mean, just straight out of that playbook.
Yeah. Well, Chael Sonnen, what was it? The biggest arms and the sweetest charms, you know?
Is your camera big enough to capture the biggest arm in Westland, Oregon?
I know. Chael straight out of that playbook all day long. And again, Chael's one of the nicest guys. Do you know what I mean? It's so funny because you know, they talk about these people being characters, and Chael actually went off at Brendan Schaub a long time ago about, whoa. No, it was Joe Rogan, I believe, you know, for talking about Colby, what he was like when he's not playing the character or something like that. And he gave him a hard time. It's like, but that's kind of what's so compelling about it, because people see these characters, you see them act a certain way, but they're not always like that. Now, granted, there is some real ones out there. And I would love to say that throughout my darkest moments and dimmest moments, and certainly most regrettable moments, I wasn't playing a character. I was literally just emotional and in the moment and hating my opponent. You know what I mean? But anyway, there it is. Anthony Smith will be on Thursday's episode. Harrington, how is baby watch? Where are we at right now?
Dude, it's, as far as I know, the contractions are not close enough where we have to rush off to the hospital. But yeah.
Rebecca!
For sure coming today.
Come here. Because like, you hear the waters breaking, mm-hmm. right? One would assume, don't make me Rebecca you twice. I'm going to...
The disrespect,
Rebecca! Michael. Oh, she's here. Don't make me Rebecca you twice. It's embarrassing. One enough is bad. People hate it. Harrington's, not Harrington's water. Alex's water has broken.
I know. It's so exciting. How is she?
She's great. We woke up early this morning. She's been monitoring the contractions, making sure that the baby's moving. She's been timing it. She's been having snacks and staying comfy. And yeah, we're
she's at the hospital. Yeah.
No. She's in the kitchen right now. Yeah.
I didn't think you were allowed to be at home when your waters are broke.
Well, no, but hold on. This is the reason I brought you in, because obviously you've got experience in this, you know, so you, what happened when your waters broke? Was it straight to the hospital, or was it like, because you were around for ages before, so, you know, you were like, you were in labor for hours and hours and hours before we actually went to the hospital.
With who?
With Lucas, I think. And then we went there one time and
my waters didn't break until I was like actually pushing, but, yeah, I know. Like, there's no point going like early, because you're just going to, they'll send you home.
We went there once and I was like, we don't need to go. It was so annoying, right? Busy schedule, training for a fight against Dan Miller.
No. This was with Ellie.
No, but
No, we went to the hospital because they were going to induce me, but then they decided not to. So we came home. But they gave me what you call a sweep. I apologize. It's where they kind of like sweep your cervix. Yeah. Okay. So they did that and they sent me home, and then but it worked. So I'm like, not long after we got home, I'm like, babe, we got to go back. He's like, oh my God.
We've just come back
and you were playing PlayStation or something. And you were like, really? I'm like, yes.
But,
got to go.
Because I wasn't sure if it was a boy or the girl that cried wolf. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you know.
Am I?
But I don't know.
Cried I'm wolf? Like, when have just, I ever cried?
We've just driven to Blackburn.
When have I ever cried wolf?
There isn't a hospital in Clitheroe. Do you know what I mean? We had to drive to Blackburn.
It's like 20 minutes away.
It's a 40-minute drive.
It's not.
And then you get, it's half an hour. It's half an hour for sure.
Anyway, we're talking about Alex
and here. We had to pay for the parking. You know, back then we were skint. You know, hospitals charge you a fortune. So in your infinite wisdom, when do you think Harrington is a father? What's your sweepstakes? Pardon the expression. Right, Brian's not here.
So has she? Is she?
What's your bet? I'm going to say within 5 hours from now, you're a father.
Is she having contractions?
Alex, as of right now, no. You want to pop on? Okay, she's not camera ready.
She's like, I am in labor right now.
I am in labor.
I get that.
If you could give one piece of advice to Alex, what would it be?
Breathe.
Oh, stop it. That's the worst advice ever.
You have
ever.
To. That's you what have I say to fighters. Concentrate on your breathing.
I say to fighters, and they say, young fighters, what's a piece of advice? Make sure you breathe, because you forget to breathe. Right?
And, no, she's,
and it's all so underwhelming. You can't say the same. They're like, all the Bisping's talking about is breathing.
Can I say why? Because when I was giving birth to Lucas, I did like deep, intense breaths. I would breathe out the pain. It was like almost hypnotic. Like I was in a trance almost.
Yeah, but were you high on drugs?
Absolutely not. I had nothing. Thanks very much.
I'm joking.
I wasn't high on drugs.
No, I know you were.
It was au naturel. That's what I mean. That was why the breathing was so important, because I had to get into the zone and you got to breathe out the
pain. But you would say, though, in hindsight, just do as much drugs as the hospital's willing to give you, right? No, because it eases the pain is what I'm saying.
Well,
I'm not saying to get high and abuse the situation.
No.
I'm saying
In hindsight, I'm glad I did it the way I did it. That was just my choice, but everyone's different. So that's all I can say. Sweet. I chose that way and I did it and I'm glad I did it that way, but that's not
your
for
body,
everyone.
Your body, your choice, right?
Why do you have to do this? Every time we
say.
Talk about childbirth and stuff, you have to mock it.
I'm not mocking it at all.
Well, it feels like
I'm trying to be entertaining like I always am when the child is being a little bit silly. That's all, Ben.
Well,
it's but it's a wonderful
childbirth
moment, though, Harrington.
Stuff.
It really is, mate. We're excited for you both. And is everything... What did we get him? We got him the toys? What else did we get? Because all he's mentioned is the toys. I think you did something wrong on the list.
Beautiful.
No, there was two things. There was like a high chair or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reason that we didn't okay. Is because it's one of the few unopened. That's what it is. So we still have I don't know what that was.
Well, that's good. That's good. No, because I was like, I didn't want you just thinking that, you know. We were so grateful for you on the podcast and to show our gratitude. We're sending a stuffed toy.
A stuffed animal.
Which is nothing wrong with a stuffed toy. But
we haven't, there's like a couple items we haven't opened up yet. And I think the
well, you just ruined the surprise.
Them, so
you said it
so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. We're okay.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Aura Jane.
Aura Jane Harrington.
Oh, that's a lovely name.
It's very traditional, isn't it?
You should take bets on how heavy she'll be when she's born.
God. Yeah, I think I have everywhere between like 8'7" and 9'3".
All right.
Did they give any indication?
No, not yet.
What's your bet back? Well, guess.
Well, I need to know, Harrington, how heavy were you when you were born?
Oh, my God.
I was light. I was like, what? What did my mom say? 6.5, 7 pounds or something? I was a little preemie.
So Mike was like 6 pounds, but I was a little over 9.
Ooh. Ooh. Wow. I'm guessing 8.5 pounds.
Well, I'm going to say, yeah. I'm going to say it's going to come in because it's Harrington's. Oh, no, it's a girl. It's a girl, so I can't do that.
That doesn't matter.
I was just going to make a joke about it. If it's a male, it's going to be a pathetic little skinny sparrow because it's coming from Harrington's loins, but that's not fair. I mean, being a male, a female.
But it doesn't work like that. Ellie was 9 pounds.
I know.
So.
It's a joke. All right.
Well, you want me gone now, don't you?
I don't, but we are going to move on. We just thought we'd talk about...
Is this the only thing I can discuss?
No, it's not.
That's the only time you bring me in.
Water's bursting. Talk to me about water's bursting, because how much water are we talking
it's
here?
It's quite a lot. It's actually quite a lot.
Like compared to what, like a bucket of water being spilled on the floor?
I don't know. I mean,
this amount of water?
No, probably not that much. It feels but
I'm genuinely curious. And a lot of people listening to these have never had their waters broke.
I'd say this amount
falls out at once.
Well, it depends. It can trickle out or it can gush out.
Yeah.
I've had it both ways.
I couldn't tell you. I just know
Aaron
I
woke had it both ways as well. You know, it's fine.
I just know I woke up to my water broke and then like four different underwear changes.
Okay. Can I ask a question? And this is going to be a bit gross. And I don't know what they call it out here. Has she had a show yet? Like the mucous membrane? Has that come out
have
yet?
Have you had a show yet? No, not yet.
Okay, so she might be a bit, yeah.
She'll be a bit, yeah. It's a very underwhelming process because you think it's going to happen straight away. You're like, baby's coming. And then remember with Callum, how long were you in labor? How many days?
Well, officially, maybe like 12 hours, but they did everything they can to stop it because he was so premature. But I think officially it was about 12
hours. But we were in the hospital for days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From like Sunday to Wednesday before it had him. But
all right.
Yeah. Unacceptable. But we are going to be back for Thursday's show.
Listen, exactly. You know, tell her to get a move on. You know, I had to leave to go to a fight. It's even bigger for you. You had to leave to get to the podcast.
You were like, no pressure, but you need to have this baby now because I got to go.
Everyone had left.
And you're like, I might have to go before you've had it. I'm like,
I can't not show up. I can't not show up. But do you know what? And I will say this, and we'll keep it on this. Anytime someone we know has a baby, we always try and send something nice and things like that, don't we? Because, you know, when Rebecca gave birth to Lucas and I had to stay and leave it to the last minute before I flew out to Vegas for the fight, we came back and I don't know, we'd been out to see my mom or something like that with the new baby, whatever. And when we came back, we had a note to check the garage. And we opened up the garage and the garage was just full, floor to ceiling. And it went back for the most of it with baby stuff that had been sent from Dana White, right?
Wow.
And we're not talking junk. We're talking Gucci tote bags. We're talking like really high-end
buggies. High-end stroller. Like Gucci and Burberry shoes for Lucas and like designer gear and stuff. It was amazing. I've never had anything like for myself. Never mind, for my child.
Listen, we sent you a stuffed toy and a hijack. We don't have Dana's budget. But like, we will never forget that. Do you know what I mean? Little things like that don't get spoken about in the press. You know what I mean? And people like to talk shit about Dana, but that was, it was such a shame when he grew out of all the designer clothes. Because, like, what are we going to do with these? We'll have to give them to somebody. But
I should have kept them, really. I kind of gifted them, but I wish I'd kept them.
Anyway, all right, babe. On this point, I am going to say goodbye and good luck to the guys.
Luck to both of you. Alex, you're going to be amazing. Can't wait to see a picture.
Okay. Send it immediately. Thank you so much, Rebecca.
Go away. All right, babe. Thank you, darling. Thank you. All right, so the show's done, but if you do have a question for us, send it into bympod@gmail.com. The better the question, the better, you know, because we get some dumb ones. We do like silly ones. We do like a good laugh. Excuse me. We do like a good laugh. Of course we do. But we do like some serious questions as well.
If you are watching this show if you're listening to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find podcasts, make sure that you're subscribed. Leave us a 5-star rating, positive review on those platforms. It really helps us out. Make sure you're subscribed to the show and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new video drops. And if you want to catch over 400 episodes you can't find anywhere else, completely ad-free and totally uncensored, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial. Check out over 20 great shows on the network.
And we have a new Brian in the background. His name is Mike. How are you, Mike? Can he speak? Does he have the ability?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. He's just the voice of God. We don't get the face.
No, you don't want to see that, man. It's rough out there.
Brian actually said, Mike, that you were a terrible producer and that we were going to have a crappy show because you're not very good at your job.
I'm the worst.
I was trying to start a bit of beef. All right, so obviously Anthony Smith's getting ready for the big fight with Johnny Walker. He couldn't join us today. He will be back on Thursday. Otherwise, we're going to have to have a serious conversation, Mr. Smith. Colby Covington, thank you very, very much. He was awesome. Nate the Train was awesome. And the fights at the weekend were awesome. Congratulations to Corey Sandhagen. Harrington, you were awesome as well, buddy.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. Under pressure. So excited.
Under pressure. Less pressure now the waters have broke, though, let's be honest. But all the best. Can't wait to see pictures of the little one on Thursday, if indeed she has arrived. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be back on Thursday with another show, with more guests, with Anthony Smith, and with an extra little believer, alive and born and well. Thanks for watching the show. See you Thursday. Take care.